there, neighbors. You're just in time for Hillbilly Heartbeats of the Year. And here is your hostess, May Kennedy McCord.
Thank you, Jim Kendrick. I tell you, he announces me like I was the president or something. Oh, I've enjoyed reading about the presidents being back home in Ireland. I'll tell you, it must feel awful good to him to be back among the Irish. I love the Irish. Well, good morning, friends. How are you this fine morning? Well, it isn't hot this morning. We had a good big rain. But boy, I like to cook yesterday. But I have one big air-cooled living room at my home, and it's like a winter day in there, thanks to my good son-in-law, Herman Jantz of the Jantz Lumber Company, who gave me the air conditioner and put it in 3 or 4 years ago. There never was a better son-in-law in this world. I'll tell you, there never was. He sees that I get so many things that are for my comfort that I'm not able to buy for myself. You know, I was on the air for Herman, his lumber company, for some years when I first went on this station. Do you remember? I could never say enough about this man's honesty and goodness. Well, a lady wrote to me and said she didn't feel so well, and she wanted me to read that cute little poem I read 2 or 3 years ago titled A Brand New Body. That was a cute little poem, so I just hunted it up, and it will fit a good many of us right now. I don't feel so good myself now that the hot weather has really struck us. I had a heat stroke in the summer of 1935 and was very sick in the hospital, and since then I've been no good when the heat comes. And they told me I never would be. They say you never are. The doctors didn't call mine a heat stroke. They called it a heat prostration. They said there was a distinct difference. A heat stroke is usually from the real hot sun blazing on you too long on some fearful, sizzling day when you're working hard, like out in the field pitching hay or something. Very strenuous. A heat prostration is just from the extreme heat and general overdoing. Well, I did that very thing. I went on a trip with a party of folks, and we swam in the Arkansas River in the blazing sun. We got up on the mountains and rolled huge boulders off and everything else. And we really deserved a heat stroke, I guess. I think I did anyway. I had no business at anything like that. And that was that awful summer of 1935 when the heat just took us over. You remember, and we had that fearful water sickness here in Springfield. So I still suffer from that very heat illness, and all is well. Well, now to the poem she wanted me to read. When people's cars get old and worn and they begin to toddle, they go somewhere and trade them in and get the latest model. Now, I have very often thought that when my joints get achy and when my hair has all turned gray and my knees are getting shaky, and when the onward march of time is making me sort of feeble, how nice it would be to find a firm that deals in worn-out people. How nice it would be when feet give out or we have damaged livers, if we could go and buy new parts just like they do for flivvers. And when my form gets bent with age and gets to looking shoddy, how nice it would be to trade it in and get a brand new body. So there it is, my friend, and more truth than poetry in that. Well, I have a happy birthday to wish this morning. I want to say happy birthday to a dear lady, Miss Theresa Spohr at Billings, S-P-O-R. Spohr or Spar? Spohr, I guess. It's a German name, you know. There's so many, many German names at Billings. It's really a German settlement there in the early days. My mother was a German herself. Her name was Fike, F-I-K-E, Fike. Well, Theresa will have a birthday July the 1st. I believe that's next Monday. Miss Theresa lost her sight about 2 years ago, and she's so patient and sweet and kind, and everybody loves her. Oh, yes, Miss Theresa, a little bird told me that. And I'm sure this little bird told me the truth. I send you my best love and also my love to your dear brother Ben, who lives with you. And may God bless you and keep you well. Miss Spohr, let me say a little verse to you that you'd appreciate, and it's one that has never left my memory for many years. I pity those who cannot see the bush, the bud, the blooming tree. But, oh, I pity so much more the man who rushes by my door and does not even care to see the bush, the bud, the blooming tree. And as I said before, there's a great truth in that. More truth than you might think. A lot of people don't care to see beauty. They don't care to see anything. But they have good sight. I found a letter that I think got I got some time ago, a year or so, that had got overlooked in the shuffle. And I want to tell you about it. You know, we multiply and replenish the earth, as the Bible tells us here in the Ozarks. We certainly do. Big families. And there's nothing finer to my notion. Although all we can hear about nowadays is too many people in the world and too much population, and I guess that's a fact. Did you know that 10,000 people a day starve to death? Die from starvation in the world? 10,000 a day? What if you saw 10,000 graves out here in front of you? You can get some idea of it that way. Think of it. Well, speaking of this letter, it's from Mrs. Nan McIntyre, Birch Tree, Missouri, and she said, "Dear May, I heard you the other Saturday telling about a lady 84 years old who had 14 children and 104 grandchildren. I can beat you one on that. My mother is still living. She's almost 84. She has also 14 children, and she has 122 grandchildren. My mother is Mrs. I.O. Mitchell of Mountain View, Missouri." Well, Miss McIntyre, that is indeed a record. I'm glad you told me about it. I wish I had 14 children and 122 grandchildren. Now, don't laugh at me over there. I do. I'll tell you, I'm very serious about it. I have four grandchildren that I just adore, and I'm sure I would love 122 just as much. I do hope your mother is still living. I hesitated to put this on the air because she might be gone, and it might make you sad. But it is a beautiful story. It's a real Ozark story. God bless you and your mother if she's living, and all 122 of the grandchildren. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get a group like that together all at one time and be the grandmother of them and realize that every one of them was your own child's child? I can't even realize such a wonderful thing as that. And right here, let me read to you a little poem titled "The Grandmother," about her little grandson. "He had only a dime in his pocket, this curly-haired lad of 10, but he bought me a gift at the market that gave me my youth again. When he threw me the purple violets, I found an April I'd lost. A love that I thought long forgotten into my life he tossed. I had gifts that cost a fortune, that wonderful birthday time, but the one that brought me happiness had only cost a dime." You know, it isn't always the cost of a gift. I was reading yesterday all about that young woman and the pilot with whom she was flying from Fairbanks, Alaska. I know you read about it maybe 3 weeks or a month ago. Because his trip had been much cheaper than the regular commercial plane, and she hadn't much money to spare, so she came in his small plane. Just the two of them. And they crashed somewhere in Canada and fell in treetops and some way were not killed. His jaw was broken and her arm was broken, but they lived there for 49 days. All but 10 days of it on nothing but melted snow water, drinking it hot. It is a tragic story, but a brave one. They had no food. They had enough to fool along, a few crackers and a can of fish or something, you know. They had been hunted for 3 weeks, then given up by the Air Force and all the authorities as dead, starved, and frozen. It is counted a miracle by the people in that region. But I was telling Betty, just think of what little use wealth is, and of what a great thing money is and what a little thing it is. What does money amount to in so many places? What if those two had started out with $10,000 on their person? Or what if they'd found a huge sum of gold on that lonely place, which was 6 feet deep in snow? What good would the money have done them? Did you ever think of it? No more than trash. You can't eat it. Well, I want to read another little poem. I feel very poetic this morning, I think. And I know that 9/10 of you love poetry, even if a few of you might not, because you all write to me about this poem and that poem and the other poem. Look how long Ted Malone lasted on the air with his poetry program for years. Nothing but beautiful poetry. Well, this poet who wrote this, I've not read after her in years. I've not read on the air, I mean, and I don't believe, and she's one of the finest in the Ozark country. She's a very gifted woman, a mother of 7 children, I think. A beautiful woman. She was a Gideon of the famous family of Gideons in this Ozark country. The Gideons, who have always made their name as brilliant lawyers, even in Washington, D.C., for many years, as men in the government. We had two very fine Gideons in my hometown for years. This woman is Gertrude Gideon Williams, wife of Curtis Williams on Route 12. We just don't know enough about our Ozark poets, and I wish I had more time and space to make you familiar with all of them, for we have as fine as any region in the whole of America. This poem is my granny of the Ozarks, and I'll have time to finish it. Come sort the treasures of her trunk with a heart that understands, for here with gentle pride are stored the fruits of withered hands. This old slat bonnet lift with care, 'tis neat and primly made, a steadfast kindly soul shone forth within its friendly shade. This jaded sampler, home sweet home, so much it held of beauty to women of my granny's type who never shirked their duty. These cotton mitts, this beaded pin, this homely white chemise, how odd to think she ever had a hankering for these. An ancient gourd all carved with hearts, and would some modern maiden dare deride her old cob pipe in whispers laughter laden? And so the old trunk silently yields up the joys and ills which form a halo round about my granny of the hills. And thank you, Gertrude. And I have another, I'm going to read that the next time, a wonderful little short poem about the aged. Well, my time's about up. I wrote a letter. I always get mail here. I had a card returned from Mrs. K. Medine, M-E-D-I-N-E, Cross Timbers, and they said there's no such person there. So I wonder if I got it addressed wrong. Is there a Mrs. K. Medine, M-E-D-I-N-E? I'll be with you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.